Now we're holding on page Lamed Aleph in Sota Osamachtes. Beginning a new parak, Hashem Shamayim. So it starts by talking about the idea here we've been talking about all this time, the Sota drinking the May Sota. So she ends up, if she's guilty, then she ends up blowing up. What happens meanwhile is it takes two to tango. What happens to him? So the Mishnah says, Hashem Shamayim Bod Kenoisei, Oisa Kachin Bod Kenoisei. The water has the same effect on him wherever he is. And so the Mishnah mentions that that was something that was Darshin Boi Bayoi. So famously, the Gemara tells us that Boi Bayoim is on the day or during the period when they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as the Nasi in place of Rabbi Gamliel. You have the whole story in Brachas where they deposed Rabbi Gamliel for the way that he was treating Rabbi Yeshua. And they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Harei Anikavem Shivim Shana, and they opened up the Beis Medrash and invited El the Talmidim to come and learn, where Rabbi Gamliel until then had a more restrictive policy. And in addition, also we find that all the Chachamim of that time also came. Up until the Doris HaRishonim, a safe on Jewish history, makes the interesting point that up until then, for the few years before that, the Chachamim, the senior Chachamim, that is not the Talmidim, were afraid to all assemble together because the Romans are keeping tabs on them, and they might accuse them of rebelling or something. But now, for the first time in many years, they had a convocation of all the great Chachamim of that time. The Mishnah in Zvachim phrases it that they had, there was 72 Skanim over there, implying that up until that time, they didn't have usually that number. Anyway, so then the Gemara says that at that point, they were able to sit down and clarify between all the Chachamim who were there for the first time and some time, plus all the new Talmidim who came, they were able to clarify many points in Halacha that until then had been controversial or obscure or whatever. And then, so the Gemara says, whenever it says Boi Bayoim in Shas, then it means on that day. And Doris HaRishonim actually explains it wasn't literally one day. A Yoim in this connection means a period. Anyway, so the Mishnah mentions at this point about Kashem Shamayim Bodkin Oisa Kachamayim Bodkin Oisa is one of the things that was Darshan on that day, on Boi Bayoim. So then the Gemara brings, and so then the Mishnah goes on to bring several other drashas that were also said at that time of Boi Bayoim in the Beis Medrash in Yavne. And one of them is, the Mishnah says, Boi Bayoim Dorash Rabbi Akiva, that at that time Rabbi Akiva darshin as follows. The Pasuk says, introducing the Shira Sayam, Oz Yoshu Moshe of Nei Yisrael, as a Shira Azos Hashem, they sang the Shira to Hashem, Vayoimru Lamer, and they said to say. Now, She'en Tamad Lema Lamer. Now, there's no reason on the face of it to say Lamer. Usually when the Torah says Lamer, it means Hashem is telling Moshe to tell it over to the people later. Marshop refers to a Gemara in Yuma that says we actually learn something from that, that when somebody tells you something, you don't have permission to tell it over unless he tells you so. We learn from the word lamer that Hashem tells Moshe, go tell it to them, implying if not, it's meant for Moshe's ears only. One way of understanding it is because of the word lamer itself. Another way the Gemara seems to imply over there is because lamer can break down into loy emer, meaning don't say, so meaning fakir, don't say it unless I specifically tell you to. But anyway, here, all the Jewish people are together. There's nobody else for them to be telling it to. So why the lamer? Ma tamad lema lamer. So why does it say lamer? Malamed shehoi Yisrael oinen shira achrav shal Moshe fula. So it teaches us that the Jewish people were saying shira after Moshe. So lamer, Moshe is saying, and they're saying after him. So the Mishnah mentions that point, and then talks about how exactly they did it. So the Braisa Mefurash Yoser, so further on in the Perek, there's a Braisa that goes into more detail about the different opinions of how the Shira Sayam was first sung. Tanan Rabbanon, es zu Boi Bayoim Dorosh Rav Akiva, so Rav Akiva gave this Dorosh of Boi Bayoim, b'shar she'olu Yisrael min Hayam, when the Jewish people came up from the Yam, nosnu eneim loyma shira. They put their eyes, meaning they decided to say shira. One point of it is, that's where Rashi mentions on the Pasuk when it says, oz yoshir. Now, yud in Lashon Kodesh means future tense, but it's not, because there's a past tense thing. Sometimes in Lashon Kodesh, a yud is used to mean an ongoing thing, like kocha yase iyo kola yomim, but here it's not either, because it was a one-time thing. So the Gemara Darshan's Rashi brings it on the Pasuk that mikam the tchias amesim in Atura, that we have a remez tchias amesim, that not only they sang it then, but they will again sing it lasid lovay. But on the more surface meaning, Rashi explains that oz yosher means that then Moshe decided to sing. So here, the Braisa is phrasing it similarly, nosnu eneim, they put their eyes, meaning that they decided to. Ion Yaakov explains that the point of it is, because they decided to, is why they were zoicha for Ruach HaKodesh to come on them to be able to say this Shira. The Shira it became incorporated into the Torah. It has many things that are foretelling the future and all that. They wouldn't have been able to do that if they didn't have Ruach HaKodesh. So that was, he says, that's the Nosnoi name. Ben Yoyoda says another point about it as well. We find Hashem didn't want the Malachim to sing at that time, but yet Jewish people sang. One difference is because they saw the nest with their own eyes. By Yal Yisrael, Es Mitzrayim, Meisal, Sfas HaYom, so now Nosnoi name, they saw it with their own eyes, and therefore they're deserving to say Shira. So they were going to say Shira. But Kates and Amru Shira, how did they actually say the Shira? So different opinions. The first opinion,
that's an interesting expression.
Yeah.
So the eyes.
That's what I'm saying. So Ian Yaakov explains that they put their eyes, in other words, they focused on that we're going to sing Shira, and for that they were Zoycha to Racha Chodesh. You have also, you know, I mean, their eyes were involved as well. Rasa Shifcha Layam, that even the maidservant saw by the Yamsuf what nobody else can see. An interesting point, by the way, actually, here we're going to say, I mean, everybody was saying the same, according to at least one Manda Omer over here, we're going to say that everybody was saying, according to the Nehemiah, we're going to say that everybody was saying the exact same words altogether. An interesting point that Mephoshim bring up, actually, is we know that usually true Nevi'im, every true Navi says things in a slightly different mode of expression. How comes it that over here everybody's saying the exact same words? And there's a few different explanations, one of them being because even if we're going to go on to say that each of them had Ruach HaKodesh to be able to say the words themselves, it's all coming as an outflow from Moshe Rabbeinu, it's Pashtus to Moshe, so it's Moshe's Nevuah, and they're just all having the opportunity to share in it, and therefore they're going to say the identical words. So vacated on Moshira, kegodol hamakres ahalol. They did it like the way when an adult is leading the tzibur in halol. Now, nowadays, we say halol, and everybody just says it for themselves, and we have a couple of places where we respond after the chazan by hodu and by the honors. But back then, when people didn't have sidurim, the more usual way to do it, that Amnon describes it in detail in Hilchos Megillah B'Chanukah, is that the chazan, being a godol, he can be motzi everybody in halol. So he would say halol, and everybody would answer after him, behind onan achar of roshei prokim. They would answer with the beginnings of the sections. So the Rambam describes, based on a Gemara and Sukkah. For example, the way it worked then was the chazan would start saying hallelujah, and everybody would say hallelujah. He would say hallelujah shem Hashem, and everybody would say hallelujah. Hallelujah shem Hashem, hallelujah. Yehi shem Hashem mevorach matav adolam, and everybody would answer hallelujah. And so it would go throughout the first paragraph. They come to Betseis Yisrael, the chazan would say Betseis Yisrael mitzrayim. They would always, that's a new peret, so everybody would respond, but say Yisrael Mitzrayim. Then he would continue, base Yaakov Ma'am lawyers, and they'd answer, hallelujah. Host the Yehuda, the contrary, hallelujah, and so forth. And so when we got to the beginning of each peret, they would say the first words of that peret, but otherwise their response would be hallelujah. The Rambam describes in Hilchos Megillah B'Chanukah, he says that altogether it would come out, they'd be saying hallelujah 123 times. The Rambam mentions it's Keneged Shnosef Shel Aaron. There's a Sicha where the Rebbe talks about what the deeper meaning of that is. Why is it important to point out the number of years that Aaron lived? Anyway, that was the way they did it. And the point is that way, and it's fine, because when they're hearing it and answering with these responses, it's considered like they actually said it. So now this first opinion, then Rebbe Akiva is going to be that they did the same thing with the Shira. Moshe Omer Ashir Al Hashem. So Moshe started off by saying Ashir Al Hashem. The Yisrael Omer Ashir Al Hashem. They replied at the beginning of that parak, saying that Moshe Omer Ki Goy Go. The Yisrael Omer Ashir Al Hashem. So their refrain, just like in Hallel, the refrain is Hallelujah because that's the first word of it. So the refrain in the Shira over here would be Ashir Al Hashem. Marsha points out, if we're saying Prokim in the plural, that implies there's at least two Prokim. Where is the second parak of the Shira? So he says, we find the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that they would sing the Shira Sayam and the Shira of the Be'er and the Shira of Hazinu in the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos. They had you have Shir Shoyoyim, you have the Shir Shoyoyim for the Korban Tomid, but you also need a Shir to be sung during Musaf and also during the Tomid Shaben HaBayim. And so they would use those Shiras for that purpose. So, and then the Gemara describes over there how they would have, they would split the Shira Sayam into two sections. One week they would do the first few Pesukim of it until Micha Moicha Ba'ilam Hashem, and then they'd pick up the second week with that, and the third week they'd do the Shira Sabe'er, and they'd go in a rotation of 3 weeks like that. So Marsha says the same thing over here. The second perek of the Shira can be said to begin with Micha Moicha, which would mean, in other words, then. So in that case, so throughout the first half of the Shira, according to Rabbi Akiva, Moshe is saying each posik or half posik, and they're responding with Ashir al Hashem. Then he gets to Micha Moicha, and then from then on, they would be answering after him, Micha Moicha Ba'ilam Hashem. So from there until the end of the Shira. It is, but it's also a Shira that foretells all of Jewish history, so therefore, so it was something that they would do on Shabbos afternoons. Okay. So that's the first opinion. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yosef Rabbi Yosef Aglili Omer. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yosef Rabbi Yosef Aglili says that they didn't do that, but rather they did cotton on that dress a halal. Rather they did it the kind of way you would do if cotton is davening by the omud halal. Now a cotton can't be motzi the tzibur, so of necessity, therefore the Mishnah tells us in Sukkah everybody's gonna have to say word for word after him. So here they did the same thing. Now it's not like Moshe couldn't be yotze them, but he's obviously not a cotton. But Maharsha points out, according to this opinion, because of Pursume Milsa, they wanted to publicize the matter. They didn't just want to leave it to Moshe to say all the words of the Shira. So instead, they answered after him as if they couldn't be yotze with him. So according to this opinion, Moshe Omer. And they respond after him exactly what he says. And so it would go throughout the Shira. Moshe would say a phrase, and they would all repeat it after him.
How many people are hearing this?
How many people? Although we're talking all the men, the pastor said. Well, here we're going to say further. We're talking about that even the babies in the womb and even the nursing babies are joining in the Shira as well. So we're talking millions of people. Rav Nachemi says a third opinion. To sofer our poros al shmab beisakneses. They did it the way that a sofer, which means a melamed, says the brachas of shma in shul. Poros al shma means to say the brachas of shma out loud, and everybody listens and is yotze with him. Rashi points out that The reason why we use the word sofer means a melamed. The melamdim are always in those days the cheder would be in shul. So therefore the melamed is very very often he would be the one adult who can be depended on to be in shul all the time. So therefore he would often serve as chadin. So now when he's davening by the omud and saying the brachas of krishma, everybody says it all together. He begins by saying the bracha and everybody continues and says along with him. So in the same way, so he begins and then everybody says along with him. So the same way, according to that opinion, Moshe starts saying Ashir Hashem and Ruach HaKodesh came on everybody and they all knew to say the exact same words together. Meaning, according to Rabbi Akiva and according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yosef Rabbi Yisrael Glili, there's no need to say that they had Ruach HaKodesh, because all they have to do is either answer the Rosh HaProkim or answer phrase by phrase after Moshe. But for them to be able to say together with Moshe at the exact moment that he's saying, and they never knew these words before, would have to mean that they had Ruach HaKodesh. So according to that, then it means that they all had Ruach HaKodesh. Tosfos actually brings a fourth opinion, which is not here in the Braisa, brings it from a Yerushalmi, I think. That's another opinion is that that they would even say things that Moshe didn't. They would, for example, Moshe would be saying Ashir Hashem, and they spontaneously would reply Ki Goy Ga. Moshe would say Ozi Vizimaska, and they would all spontaneously answer Vayhi Li Lishua, and so forth. So that's another opinion. There's a sicha in Chelik Lamed Aleph that Rebbe analyzes the three opinions that we have here and why does each one of them hold the way he does. Basically, the Rebbe develops the idea. The point was to show the achdus between Moshe and the Jewish people. Moshe who Yisrael, Yisrael who Moshe, as Rashi famously says, Moshe and the Jewish people are identical. So how is that achdus best expressed? Rebbe Akiva holds. By them being yotze with him saying, like when the chazan is leading halal in shul. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yosef Rabbi Yosef Aglili holds the achdus is more better expressed by that they're saying all the words after him. And Rabbi Nechemia holds the achdus is being best represented by that they are all able to say it along with him as he's saying these words for the first time, then they're saying it together with him. And then the Rebbe goes on to develop the idea that fundamentally, the achdus of the Jewish people depends on the fact that we all have a yechidah. All of us are alike. All of us are equal in that we all have a yechidah. And who is it that brings us out? Who is it that brings that out by us? Is Moshe, the Moshe in his times, and the Moshe shebechol dor, which is why, according to all opinions, Moshe needs to be leading things.
Is that half a puzzle? Did they say the other half? Doesn't say,
according to that opinion, doesn't say whether they said it silently. I mean, at that point, they weren't psukim yet. They were only written down in the Torah later, so maybe there wouldn't be an issue of saying only half pasuk. Okay, so the Gemara says, but my kumitzvi, well, what is the underlying argument? So Rabbi Akiva, actually, it's not Tosfos brings that. That's actually Marshal brings that from Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai. Okay, so b'maikom mitzvah, what is the underlying machlokes? Rabbi Akiva savar lamer amilsa kamaisa. Rabbi Akiva says when it says lamer, ultimately all of this we're darshaning from the fact that it says lamer, which otherwise would have been unnecessary. So Rabbi Akiva holds when it says lamer means amilsa kamaisa, it's going on the first thing. The lamer, oshir ol Hashem. So therefore, they're repeating after them each time, oshir ol Hashem. Rabbi Eliezer ben Eishar, Rabbi Yisrael Levi Sofer, lamer akol milsil milsa. Rabbi Eliezer holds that the lamer goes on each statement, each clause, each phrase. So therefore, it means that each of them would be saying it after Moshe. Rav Nechemya Sofer, vayoymru, Rav Nechemya holds. No, the vayoymru means that they all said it together, because it's in plural. They all said it together. Lamer just means the Pasach Moshe Bereisha, just means that Moshe started first. So Moshe starts Ashir El Hashem, and then they continue and say and continue saying along with him throughout the whole Shir. Okay. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Dorash Rav Yosi Aglili, B'shor She'olu Yisrael Min Hayam, when the Jewish people came up from the Yam, after Kriyas Yamsuf, Nosnu Enem Loima Shira. So as we said, they put their eyes to say Shira. They decided they're going to say Shira, and they had Ruach HaKodesh for the purpose, and they saw the dead Mitzriim, etc. The Ketzad Omru Shira. Now, how did they say Shira? So it wasn't just the adults were saying. Olo Muto Abirte Imo. You would have a young child, a toddler, was on his mother's knees, the tinik yonik mishdei imoy, and there would be even younger babies who are nursing from their mother's breasts. Rashi points out the word oilol means somewhat older than a yonik. A yonik would be a baby who's still of nursing age, an oilol would be like a toddler, a 3 or 4 year old or whatever. So Marshall points out all of this, the explanation of Reis Aglili, is specifically according to Reb Nechemya, that they all had Ruach HaKodesh, so therefore we're saying even these tiny little babies had Ruach HaKodesh at that point. Kivin should roll with a Shechina, when they see the Shechina there by Kriyas Yamsuf, Oilol Higbiat Savaroi, the little toddler picked up his neck, he's not just napping on his mother's lap anymore, he picks up his head to see, the Kinek Shomat Dad Imay Mipiv, the nursing baby lets go of the mother's breast from his mouth, and they said together with the adults, Zet Kedi Van Veu. Shenemar, as the apostle says, Mi Pi Olim Yonkim, Yisad Ta'oiz, from the mouths of the toddlers and the nursing babies, you have founded strength. So the strength refers to the Shira. First of all, Shira in general, Marshall points out, is associated with the strength of Hashem. Like you have the Pasuk, Vani Osher Uzecha. David says, hundreds of years later, I will sing of your strength. And in the Shira itself, you have Ozi Vezim Ascha. So therefore, we're saying that strength is founded on the Olim V'Yonkim, who also joined in the Shira. Marshall points out the continuation of the pasuk also fits very nicely with that. Laman Sodorecha, against your enemies. Lahash V'Soyev V'Snakim, to destroy, to make cease the enemy and the avenger, which is exactly what happened over here, where the enemies and the avengers are dead and all the Jewish people are singing Shira. Many times, as we know, that ever brought that pasuk any number of times about the power of the Torah and Tefillah and Tzedakah of children, how it has the ability lahash v'soyev v'masnakim every time.
Tefillah before the
Nitzachon,
or
it's both. I mean, it's Tefillah for the Nitzachon, it's Tefillah after the Nitzachon. Yeah. Tanya, we learn in another Braisa, Hoyer Rav Meir Oimer, Rav Meir also said, Minayin Shafilu Ubrin Shemei Iman Omru Shira. How do we know that even the unborn babies in their mother's womb said Shira? Kenema, because the Pasuk says, the Makhelos Baruch Hu Elokim, in gatherings, bless Hashem, and Rashi explains the gathering means they were all gathered together there by the Yamsuf. Hashem, Mimkur Yisrael, Hashem will be blessed from the Makur. I mean, in the womb of the Jewish people. So even the babies who are in the womb are also blessing Hashem. One point is, the Rashba makes a point, this Gemara is also brought in Brachas, that the Rashba makes a point over there with all of the, with everything that was going on, the terror from the Mitzriim and the everything, very possibly women would have miscarried from the shock. The fact that nobody did is tremendousness, and therefore the unborn babies have what to thank Hashem for, that all of them are safe and sound in the womb. So in fact, a number of psukim in that capital actually refer to the events of Kriyas Yam. So that capital, Samaches, we're going to have in a few days, we say in Tikkun Leil Shavuos, because it talks about Matan Torah, it talks about Kriyas Yam, so it talks about the spoils from Mitzrayim, and it all goes through poetically all of the events of that time. As Marsha points out, you have the pasuk Kidmu Shorim Achanoignim, for there came the singers and the musicians, meaning that the Jewish people said Shira, and then the Malachim, the Seich Alomis Kefefes, you have among the young women who are beating drums, which is Miriam leading the women with the Tupim of Mecholis. The pasuk continues over there about Binyamin being sown, and Sori Zvul and Sori Naftali, which refers to later on the whole story with Kriyas Yamsuf, where Binyamin jumps in first and everybody's angry at them that they're taking the lead and so on and so forth. So there's many psukim back to back over there that talk about the events of Kriyas Yamsuf. So this pasuk fits very well with that. Tosfos discusses, by the way, it doesn't mean that even though you have Rabbi Yossi Aglili is bringing from the pasuk Mipi Olim Biyonkim Yisad Ta'oz, and Rabbi Meir is bringing from a different pasuk Makelus Baruch Elikim, and one's referring to the little babies and the other one's referring to the unborn babies. Tosfos points out they can actually be agreeing with each other. What we're saying is the pasuk Mipi Olim Biyonkim means that the children, even the ones who are nursing, are, like we said, letting go of the breasts in order to sing Shira. If we only had the pasuk Makelus Baruch Hu Elokim, you would know that everybody was participating, but you wouldn't know. Let's say those babies that right now are busy nursing or napping or whatever. How would we know that they joined in? For that, you need the pasuk Mipi Olim Biyonkim. Tosfos also points out there are other things that we learn from that pasuk Makelus Baruch Hu Elokim. We learn from it that Birkas Chasanim, that the brachas by a chuppah have to have at least 10 Jews over there because you have to have Makelus, and there's various other things that we learn from that. Okay, so the question is, v'holei chozu. The question is, how could, maybe the babies that are born already, they can say, zeh keli vandeyu. Marsha points out, you know, it also fits with what we learned previously in this Masechta, that the babies that were born in the fields where the Mitzriim are trying to throw them in the Nile or do whatever to them, and their mothers would go and give birth in the fields, and Hashem sent Malachim to take care of them, so they saw Hashem's presence then, and now those same babies, years later, are able to say, zeh keli vandeyu. They're able, marabetz boi, right, zeh. They're able to point to this is the same Shekhinah that we saw back when we were in the fields and in danger, and then he protected us. But the Gemara is asking, what about the unborn babies, v'holei chozu? They couldn't see, so how could they be saying Shira, and how could they be saying Zekei Livanveil? So the answer is Amrab Tanchum Keres Nasalahem Kaspaklau Yameira. The mother's stomach, the mother's womb, became for them like a clear looking glass, Vero, and therefore they're able to see through it, and therefore they're actually able to see with their eyes. Marsha points out, you know, as it is, the Gemara in Nida tells us that a baby in the womb is able to see me so far olam bad sofa. You can see from one end of the world to the other. But that's not physical sight. That's, in other words, they're able to understand everything that's going on in the world during the time the Malach is teaching them Torah and all that. But here we're talking about to actually physically see. And again, the idea that everybody saw, that everybody had a tremendous gilui of the course, even the Ras of Tishkalayam, that even the maidservant saw, so for that, they need to be able to actually see, and so for that, the womb became transparent for them to be able to see. Mishnah continues. Boy Bayoim, again, Boy Bayoim, during that same period when they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Nasi, Dorosh Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanus. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanus gave the following Dorosha. Now, we have this Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, but this Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanus, I suppose, might conceivably be from the same extended family, but he's not a brother of Rabbi Eliezer, as we're going to see. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, which makes him a generation or two younger than Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus. So either Hurkanus was a common enough name that you had a few different people whose fathers bore that name, or it means maybe we do find Rabbi Eliezer himself had a son, Hurkanus. Maybe this Rabbi Yeshua is his son. Anyway, he darshin. Loy ovad Iyov es hamokim elame ava. Iyov served Hashem only out of love. And now you have a person can be serving Hashem out of love or out of fear. Now Rashi points out, you know, we learned yesterday about Porosh Me'ava, Porosh Me'ira, where it's not such a good thing. And okay, Abaya and Rava said, at least don't put them in the category of the other bad types of Purushim, because at least they're doing Shaloi L'Shma, but eventually they're coming L'Shma. But that was talking about, Rashi explains, that's talking about where they love the Schar and they're afraid of the punishment. Here we're talking about the Ava and Yira. We're talking about our much higher levels of Ava and Yira. So now, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hilkiah says that Eliezer served Hashem out of love. Shenema, as he says in one of his speeches, Hein yiktaleini, even if Hashem will kill me, loy ayachel, I will still be hoping for him. In other words, I'm still going to look forward to being as close to Hashem as possible, no matter what he does to me. But, continues Rabbi Yeshua ben Hilkiah, v'adayin hadavar shokel, but it's still equally balanced, because another way you could learn the pasuk is loy ani miyachel or eini miyachel. The word loy, there's actually a kriyuksiv in the pasuk. There's like 15 places in Tanakh where you have a word written loy, lamed aleph, and we read it as though it said lamed vav, which means to him. There's like 15 places like that, and this is one of them. So that being the case then, we could instead understand the pasuk to be saying with loy with an aleph. Does he mean that I'm going to continue hoping for and looking forward to the closeness of Hashem no matter what he does to me? Or does he mean, if it comes up to the point where he's killing me, then fine. Up to that point, I'm willing to be close to Hashem. But if he's going to kill me, then that's it. Then forget about it. So maybe that's what he means. And in that case, you can't say he's serving Hashem out of Ava. So Talmud Loimar, therefore we have another pasuk later in Eiv, in another one of his speeches, where he says, Ad Egva, until I die, lo osu tumosi mimeni, I will not let go of my perfectness from myself. In other words, I'm going to remain perfect in my connection to Hashem. And at the beginning of the Sefer, it calls him Ishtam V'yosher. So he's saying that tmimus that I had in my good times, I'm still going to keep. I'm still going to stick to it. Now, over here, obviously, we can't say here there's no kriyuksiv. But anyway, to say loy osu, to learn it with a vav, would be meaningless. So necessarily, over here, loy has to mean with an aleph. And therefore, he's making it clear, no matter what happens, ad egva, until I die, loy osu to mosi mimeni, I'm not letting go of my tmimus. And that means, in other words, that he's willing even to the death, he's still gonna stay with Hashem, and he's not gonna think that he should give up on Hashem.
It says only until I die.
Until, right? But that's what he means. Ad va'ad b'chlal. He means even then. Right. So actually, there is a point. Actually, there is a point that we do need both psukim. It's true. If we only had that second pasuk, we would have said. That maybe means only until, but not at that actual point. But once we have the two psukim, then it tells us that putting them together tells us that he means even if Hashem is going to kill me, and even if I am going to die, nevertheless, I'm still sticking with Hashem. So therefore, so that's Ava, that no matter what, he loves Hashem, and he's not going to want to be separated from Hashem. This is before Hashem benched him at the end. Yeah, this is during all of his speeches, during the year of Yisurim that he was having, and he was having all of his debates with his friends. Yeah. So you have to remember, by the way, you look in Sefer Eiv, and it's a fascinating Sefer to learn, by the way. Throughout the whole thing, his friends are trying to convince him that you must have done something wrong, and this is why Hashem is punishing you, or different things like that. And so he's over and over having to point out to them, no, you're misjudging me completely. I'm not the Rasha that you think I am. I am a tzaddik, and I don't understand why Hashem is doing this to me. But nevertheless, no matter what, I'm still gonna power through. So limit Shema Ava also. So therefore, we see he's serving Hashem out of love. Omer Rabbi Yeshua, so Rabbi Yeshua, regular Rabbi Yeshua, which is Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, was very impressed by this. He says, "Mi gala ofer meinech or Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai." If only someone could uncover the dust from your eyes, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai had passed away a few years before this. This whole thing of Boi Bayoim was some years after Churban Bayis Sheni. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai lived through the Churban. We know he had himself smuggled out of Yerushalayim, ten the Yavne Chachaman, all that. He set things back up in Yavne, and he lived a few years. He made a bunch of takonis, and then he passed away. So this is a few years after that. So Rabbi Yeshua says, if only someone could uncover the dust from your eyes, if only you could see what's going on over here. So he said, Dirdish Koyamecha, all your life you were doubting like Obed Iyav Amokim Elam Yira, that Iyav served Hashem only out of fear. Shenemar, in the introduction to the Sefer, it calls him Ishtam V'yosha V'yirei Elikim, who fears Hashem, V'sor Meiron, he stays away from evil. So you were saying that he's serving Hashem only out of fear. V'halo Yeshua ben Hurkanus, Talmud Talmudcha, meanwhile now you have Yeshua ben Hurkanus, who was a Talmud of your Talmud, because he was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, Limud, he taught Shema Ava Osa that Eiv was actually serving Hashem out of love. So either he's saying this is very impressive that he was able to think of something that you, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, didn't, or he might mean, you know, it's too bad if Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, if you were around, you might be able to defend your position. You'd defend your position and show how it is correct to say after all that he served Hashem only Miyira. Anyway, why is he calling him Talmud Talmidcha? So this year, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanus is a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. Now, Rabbi Akiva himself is not a direct Talmud of Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai either. He was a Talmud mostly of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, who were among Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai's main five Talmudim. So really, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanus is the Talmud of the Talmud of the Talmud of Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. Why doesn't he mention that? So the Rambam explains in Pirush HaMishnayos, because Rabbi Akiva at this point was such an outstanding, such a world-class Talmud Chacham, that he had originally been Rabbi Yeshua's Talmud, but by now he himself is on the level of a Chavur of Rabbi Yeshua, so Rabbi Yeshua honors him by calling him as if he himself had been a Talmud of Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. So therefore now Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanus is his Talmud, so he's a Talmud of a Talmud. The Radal explains it a little bit differently, that Rabbi Yeshua, since he's speaking as though to Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, he doesn't want to say on himself that, look at me, I have Talmudim of my own, so he makes it sound as though, I'm just a Talmud, and along with me, there are other Talmudim who they now have Talmudim of their own. So the Gemara says, what's the question, whether it means loy, not, or whether it means loy to him? The nechzi hai loy hefiksib. All we have to do is look in a Tanakh and see how it's written. What does Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanus mean? I'm dying a dover shokel. The matter is still equally weighted. Eva lamed aleph ksiv loy hu. If it says with lamed aleph, then it means not. And then it would mean loy ayachel, that at that point I will not hope for Hashem anymore and I'm giving up on him. The eva lamed vav ksiv loy hu. And if it says loy with a vav, then it means to him, and it means I will continue to hope for him. So what's the adayin adover shokel? So the Gemara is going to end up answering that it can mean both, especially because you do have a kriyuk siv. But that's our kosiv brings over here from the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos, who explains that actually you do taka sometimes fine, where the Torah will say something with an aleph, and we understand it as though it was with a vav or vice versa. So you have, there are other places, like I said, there are about 15 such places in Tanakh where you have such things. The Gemara Darshan's a few of them here and there. Tosfos Shantz brings a few of them in connection with this Gemara. Each one, there's some kind of drosha, what the significance is of that variation between the Lamed Aleph and Lamed Vav. But anyway, so the Gemara is asking, and then on the face of it, you just have to see how it's written, and that'll tell us what it means. So the Gemara asks, why? You're telling me that every time it says with Lamed Aleph necessarily means loy, it means not. Elamayata, what about, for example, look at the following pasuk. B'chol tzarosam loy tzar, the pasuk says, in all of the troubles of the Jewish people, loy troubled. Now, loy tzar would mean that Hashem is not troubled with an aleph, because it's the lamed aleph. Hochinami de loy hu. Do you mean that it really means loy, that Hashem is not bothered by the tzaras of the Jewish people? V'chitema hochinami. You're going to say, okay, maybe that's what it means. Maybe Hashem is going to help the Jewish people, but he's not actually bothered by it. No, v'oksivu malach ponav Hashem. He continues, and the Yeshaya continues in the pasuk. The malach of Hashem's presence saves them. And he lifts him up throughout all the days of the world, meaning that Hashem is kavyachol deeply pained by our pain in Golos and all of our troubles, and Hashem will do anything in order to make it stop. So we see that even though it says loy over there, and it's the same kind of kriyuksiv variation over there, where it says loy with an aleph, but we read it as though it was lamed with a vav. So you see, ela mashmahochi or mashmahochi. So the answer is it can actually mean both. So each one has a meaning. In the case of B'chol Tzarosam Loy Tzar, it does mean that after all, really, Atzmus Mahus, the Eibishter himself, is far beyond anything of being bothered by being affected by anything in the world, but nevertheless, Loy with a Vav, Hashem chooses to make it bother him and to do something about it. And similarly, with a number of the other psukim, Tosfos Shantz mentions, for example, another example of that we have in Mizmor L'Seder, Hu Asanu V'Loy Anachnu. They also have the same kind of thing. With an aleph, it would mean, Hu asanu, Hashem made us, v'loy anachnu, we didn't make ourselves. With a vav, it would mean, Hu asanu, v'loy anachnu, and we are his. And they also both variations have meaning that's talked about in Chassidus and in various other places. So therefore, the same way over here, even though when Eiv is saying, loy ayachel, and again, you have the same kriyuksiv, then it can mean either one, and therefore, that's why he's saying you need the other pasuk ad egva, to clarify for us that it means that he was serving Hashem out of Allah.
Was it written or they had an oral tradition that they only learned by...
Every creed, by definition, is oral. You have a ksiv, it's written a certain way in the Sefer Torah or in the Book of Nach, and we have an oral tradition that it should be read differently.
But what I'm saying is when they learned they said the word lo, but in other words, yeah.
And they would have to explain whether they mean loy with an aleph or loy with a vav. There is the slight possibility that maybe at one time they were actually pronounced differently, but already the medactikim are showing him that already the early Bali dictor from Spain 1,000 years ago, right, already, and there's svarim that in, at least in their time, it was already both pronounced identically, and of course we do the same thing as well. So the Gemara continues, Tanya of Meir Omer, here's another way that we can understand that Eov served Hashem out of love. Nema Yireya Lekim Be'Eov, so the question is, in other words, that in the Mishnah we had Rabbi Yeshua pointing out that Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai had said that Eov served Hashem only out of Yira. So if we're saying that he served Hashem out of Abba, what are we doing with the pasuk to call him Yireya Lekim? So the Meir says, Nema Yireya Lekim Be'Eov, by Eov it says that he's Yireya Lekim, but Nema Yireya Lekim Be'Avram. It says the same expression by Avram after the Akedah, Achi Yadaiti, Ki Yireya Lekim Abda. Ma Yireya Lekim Ha'om of Avram Me'Abba. So just like there, it doesn't mean that Avram was stuck only on the Yira. It means that he went to the higher level of Abba. So after Yireya Lekim, Omer Be'Eov, Me'Ava, the same thing with Eov, even though it says Yireya Lekim, that doesn't preclude, it means, in other words, that he's not doing Marashah brings over here from Sefer Ikrim, that it means, in other words, that Avraham, that now at this point, Hashem says, now we can see, and the whole world can see, that you're not just until now, you might have been listening to Hashem out of fear of Onish. Now we see, Ki Yireya Lekim Ata, that you're motivated by a Yira by a pure Yira of Hashem, and that's a level of Ovid Me'ava. So in other words, even though the Pasuk phrases it as Yireya Lekim, it means, in other words, it's really a type of Abba. In Chassidus, we have the idea, you have those Yira Tata and Yira Yilah, and Abba Tata and Abba Yilah, Abba Rabba and Abba Solom, and so forth, and the highest one you have is Yira Yilah, and it's brought about by Abba. So therefore, when he reaches that level, then it can be said that his Avodah comes from Abba. And so the same thing by Eov, when it says Yireya Lekim, means that really means that there's Abba involved. So Avram Gufim Minolon, well, by Avram himself, how do we know that Yireya Lekim means Ava? Dichtiv, because the Pasuk describes him, Zer Avraham Oyavi, the Jewish people, the descendants of Avraham, who loved Hashem. So we see that Avraham's Midah is Ava, is Chesed, and therefore, so when it uses the word Yireya Lekim, means that it's an outgrowth of his Ava, and therefore the same thing by Eov. So the Gemara asks, Ihochi, well, if so, my Ika ben Oisame Ava la Oisame Yira. Well, then what is the actual difference between somebody who serves Hashem out of Ava versus Yira? So if we're saying Yireya Lekim can mean Ava, then what is the actual difference? And the answer is Ika Hodetan Yirab Shimon Alaza Oimer. The difference is, as we learn in the following Braisa, that Shimon Alaza says, Godola Oisame Ava Yosimina Oisame Yira. A person who serves Hashem and does mitzvahs out of love is greater than one who does it out of fear. Again, we don't mean love and fear of schar and onish respectively. We're talking far higher levels, but still, even within those higher levels, Abba is the better one. Shazet tolu la elef dur, vizet tolu la alpayim dur. Because the reward for the Yirei Hashem works, it helps for his descendants to 1,000 generations. The one who's over me'ava is for 2,000 generations. And how do we know that? Hachaksiv va'oisa chesed la'alofim la'oyavai, in the Aseret HaDibros, Hashem does kindness for thousands, meaning for 2,000 years, for those who love me. V'hosim ksiv, meanwhile, at the end of Parashas Vayeshanan, olashrim mitzvot of la'elof dur, to those who guard Hashem's mitzvahs, which guarding Hashem's mitzvahs is an expression of yira. Guarding represents loisa, says, so it means, in other words, his main motivation is mitzad gvura, mitzad the loisa, says. So then it says la'elof dur for 1,000 generations. So we see that the one who has ava is greater. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? But that pasuk also, Hosam Nami Ksiv La'oyavav, or Shemim Mitzvot of La'elof Dur. That pasuk at the end of our Sanan also mentions the word La'oyavav. So what is it? So why are we saying so? Then it means that the La'oyavav also get only 1,000 generations. And the answer is, Haidu is Samachlai, the Haidu is Samachlai. Because each one, we have to look at what's near the reward. By the Alofim, Va'oysa Chesed La'alofim, the next word after that in the Aseret HaDibros is La'oyavai. Implying, therefore, that reward of 2,000 is for the La'oyavai. The one at the end of Sanan, yes, it does mention La'oyavai, but the next words are the Shomer Mitzvoisav, and then it says La'elof Dur, implying that the Elof Dur is specifically for the Shomer Mitzvoisav. So the Oyavov, Marsha explains, in other words, that goes with Uliu in the Pasuk. It says, Shomer HaBris VaChesed, that Hashem guards and keeps and waits to do the Bris and the Chesed for Oyavov. Meanwhile, the Shomer Mitzvah, Elef Dor, they get 1,000 generations of reward for their descendants. So the Gemara says, two Talmidim were one time standing in front of Rava. Bad Omale, one says, Akriyun B'chalmoy, in my dream, I was read the following pasuk. How great is your goodness that you have hidden away for those who fear you. B'chadom, and the other one tells Rava. B'chadom, and the other one tells Rava. Akri and B'chamoy, to me, there was read to me in a dream. Another pasuk from Tilid. V'yismuchu ha'choseivach, all those who take refuge in you, Hashem, will rejoice. La'olam yiraneinu v'goyma, they will always be happy. And the pasuk finishes off. V'yaltzavacha, oyaveh shmecha, the ones who love your name will exult, will be in tremendous ecstasy with you. So what does this mean? So Rava tells them, Tavaychu Rabbanan, Tzaddik and Gemur, Ya'av Atun, both of you, those psukim that were read to you in your dreams, show that you're complete tzaddikim, Mar Me'avo, Mar Me'ira. The one who was read the pasuk V'yismuchu Chochoseibach, that pasuk which mentions Oyavei Shmecha, that was meant to tell you that you're on the level of Avas Hashem. And the first one, Marav Turcha, Shatzafan Telu Ye'echa, you were being given a message, Min HaShemayim, that you're on the level of Yiras Hashem. But both of you are doing your avoda in the most complete and perfect way, and you're both tzaddik and gemurim, each in your own way, one mitzadak, and one in the kav of chesed, and one in the kav of, and one in the kav of gvura. Yom Yom Mashiach of Gvura.
Richard
Korb, we have made him for the first time. Good. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach of Gvura, Beis 7. So how do we get rid of the golos is by getting rid of the causes of golos, and the cause of the golos that we're in now was the lack of Avas Yisrael, as we learned in Gittin a while back. So now we're after already Masenu Vavadasenu of the entire time of golos. So now surely that cause of golos has already been fixed up, and now the stress on Avas Yisrael is more not so much to fix up the negative, but rather as a taste and the beginning of the Geulah Mitzvah Shlema, which is, has to do with the point of Achdus within every Yid that's beyond any divisions. The point is not so much that we need to stress Avas Yisrael as in get rid of Sinas Chinam, but rather Avas Yisrael to reveal the Yechida within each person and show how we're all united. Continuing on Halachas of Yom Tov. We were talking about catching animals and shechting them on Yom Tov. So now you have similar kinds of things as far as fish. If you need a net to catch them, for example, you can't do that on Yom Tov. If you're able to catch them by hand, then you're allowed to catch them by hand. You would even be able to use a keli for that, although the Alter Rebbe says even then it's still better not to use a net. If there are a lot of fish there, then again, you have to designate which ones you're planning to use on Yom Tov, make a simon on them or something. If you need all of them, then you say, Erev Yom Tov, I'm reserving all of these fish for Yom Tov. Otherwise, again, you have issues of muktzah. And then if you have a suffix of which one was designated, and now you can't tell which is which, so then it's Osir, Tzorach Gadol, then you can make all on Yom Tov Sheni, although the Alter Rebbe doesn't mention that point, but not on the Yom Tov Sheni Shor Rosh Hashanah, because we know Rosh Hashanah has a whole different, it's 2 days have a whole different din of Yom HaRichta and rules that apply to regular 2 day Yom Tov and don't apply to Rosh Hashanah. In this connection, also, all animals that are muktzah, you're also not allowed to give them food or drink. At most, what you can do is you can put the food or drink a little bit further away. So when they're tamei animals, the Alter Rebbe says you can, because anyway, you weren't planning to eat them, but in other words, we're talking about kosher chicken, chickens, let's say, or whatever, you can't put the food, if you didn't plan to eat them on Yom Tov, then you would have to put the food a little further away from them, because otherwise you can't feed them directly on Yom Tov.